This is Local Matters with Johnny Manson on 94.7 Timber Country.
All right, it's 7:35, and we have Senator Phil Fortunato. He represents the 31st Legislative District, and you're saying, hey, we're the 19th and 24th. Why do we have this bozo on? No, I don't really think you're a bozo, sir, but, you know.
I don't know. Some of the other side might agree with you.
Right. But you represent parts of King and Pierce County, and I've noticed that, you know, a lot of things that you guys do up there really affect us here in these smaller areas. But first, welcome to the show. And I wanted to ask you, like, opening day of the session, you were escorted out. Why was that?
Well, you know, the press sort of confused the issue a little bit on what the actual issue was. And here's the issue. Your employer says to you, we want you to be tested every day that you come in on the Senate floor. And, you know, you may not like that, but you're going, okay, you know, all right, I guess being tested. I chose not to get vaccinated. I don't believe that I objected to all these vaccine mandates and all that. You want to get vaccinated, I'm not stopping you. That's your personal decision. But you should not be chastising people, firing them, losing their livelihoods because they chose to make a medical decision. So you go to work, and your employer says to you, if you test positive, you have to file the medical protocol outlined by your employer, in this case, in my case, the Senate, and you have to, including hospitalization and treatment. Would you sign that release form to be tested? That's my question. And my answer was, hell no.
Right?
I'm not going to let you tell me what to do if I test positive. Are you out of your mind? Right? So everybody else was complaining about it. They were, you know, we verbally objected and blah, 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 and all that. And so I go in, and they have a guard at the elevator for me to go up to my office. And she says, I need to see your negative test. And I go, well, I'm not doing that. And I just walked in, went up to my office, went in the elevator, went up to my office, you know, got on a Zoom call at 11 o'clock. At 12 o'clock, I get a knock on the door from the Secretary of the Senate saying that I can't be in the building unless I agree to be tested. And I go, well, I'm not signing your release form. I'll just stay in my office. You can't be in the building. You have to sign the release form and get tested to stay in the building. I go, well, what's the consequence? She goes, well, we'll have you escorted out of the building. I said, okay. and she looked at me like, what? I go, okay. Now, my ulterior motive was, I actually had a constitutional lawyer standing by. What we were hoping for is that they would have the state patrol escort me out, because the state patrol is under the executive branch, and we are the legislative branch, and that would have been a major, big constitutional thing. As it was, they just had the Senate security, who very apologetically escorted me out. So that was Monday. And on Tuesday, I wrote an email back to the Secretary of the Senate, and I said, just so you know, I'm going to do the exact same thing again on Wednesday, unless you remove that from the release form, you allow me to strike it out on the paper form, or allow me to be tested by a third party somewhere else and bring in the test results. Wednesday morning, they sent me an email and said, we removed that from the release form. And if you test positive, you just got to go home. Now, I mean, to me, my caucus has been fighting this since November with no results. Action actually implemented something, implemented change. And that's my point. A lot of times, you know, they limited the number of senators to go out on the Senate floor. Now, you don't have a constitutional right to your job. I do.
Right.
I have a constitutional right to my job. Now, if I'm not willing to stand up for all those people that got fired because of their decision on vaccine mandates, I mean, what the hell good am I? Right?
Right.
And right. So I urged my caucus. They said the Democrats come up with the rules. Now, when you elect a Democrat majority of the Senate, they have control of everything. They control the rules. They control the floor debate. They control what bills get heard. They control what bills go through committee. They control everything. Okay, so they set the Senate rules and said everybody had to be tested. Everybody had to wear a mask. You could only allow seven Republicans and eight Democrats on the floor at a time. And I said, this is stupid. We all Republicans should just walk out on the Senate floor, sit in our desk with no mask on, and just ignore it. What are they going to do? Well, that works if everybody agrees, but nobody else agreed. It would have been stupid if I did it by myself. But,
right.
I mean, it was just dumb rules. And people have to understand what the consequence is of when you elect the Democrats to a majority. They think differently. I happen to think personal freedom happens to be a big issue, right? I happen to think on April 9th of 2020, right? This is like a couple of months into the emergency powers proclamations. Now, there's actually two sets of proclamations. One, he can do under emergency powers, and that's the mask mandate, the vaccine mandate, and all the things that people hate. And there's another set of proclamations that he could issue under emergency rule, but they affect state law, and they are waiving fees, waiving deadlines, waiving licensing requirements for nurses, et cetera, to get more nurses in the state. We actually agreed with those proclamations. My problem is, on August 9th, I said at a caucus meeting, I'm not voting to extend any more of these proclamations. I agree with these waiving fees and all. I agree with all that. But when we vote to allow him to do this, we are saying that he has the power to do it. And I'm saying he doesn't. It's not an emergency anymore. It's 3 or 4 months into this. It's not an emergency. It is a crisis that needs to be managed. And if he needs to be managing and he's talking about firing people, he needs to go through the legislature. Now, the legislature very likely would give him everything that he wanted. And in fact, that was the first thing that the Democrats did when we went back into session. If you don't like these emergency powers, there's only one political party that you could blame. The very first bill that we passed in 2021 gave the governor all of these powers in statute until he determined the emergency was over. And apparently the emergency is only going to be over if he dies in office or if he gets out of office, because he's not going to give up these powers at all. And, that's why we have these emergency powers. That's why people got fired over these vaccine mandates. I mean, to me, it's a major infringement on personal freedom. And it has nothing to do whether you agree with the vaccine or not. You want to get vaccinated, I'm not standing in your way. I would encourage you to make your own medical decision. I chose not to get vaccinated. That's my medical decision.
Right.
I shouldn't lose my job over that. This is idiocy. At the same time, they're over there talking about, I don't know whether you noticed the change in terminology. They stopped talking about available hospital beds, and they started talking about available staffed hospital beds, because they had the beds, they had the room, they just didn't have the staff. Why is that? Because they fired 30% of the nurses that didn't want to get vaccinated. Now, you're a nurse and you chose not to get vaccinated. What the heck do you know that I don't know?
Right.
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 I mean, that's a pretty scary statistic.
It seems like
Other than that, I don't really have an opinion.
Right. Other than that. A lot of scary things, it seems, has been going on here. You introduced legislation to protect privacy of concealed pistol license holders. What was the motivation behind that?
Well, it is kind of humorous that the other side always talks about, discrimination, targeting, racial profiling, all this stuff and on, right? And I go, well, you realize, of course, that if you want to have what it did was it protected the privacy of you having a concealed carry permit. A whole reason that you have a concealed carry permit is I want to carry a gun. I don't want to advertise the fact, so I get a concealed carry permit. Now, ironically, in this state, you can carry open without a permit, but you need to have a permit to carry concealed, which is kind of odd to me. But I don't want that on the front page of the Seattle Times. I don't want people picketing outside the front of my house because I choose to carry a gun. And so that was again, it's a personal protection. Now, the other side will talk endlessly about personal privacy and facial recognition and privacy for this and privacy for that, except when it comes to guns. Then, they want to target you. They want to expose you. You know, you're a radical right winger if you choose to protect yourself, which, by the way, I don't know whether you heard, but just the other day, Wednesday, a group of women went down and filed a referendum to overturn the magazine ban. I made the statement on the Senate floor that guns are not a man's issue. Guns are a woman's issue. And when you pass these stupid gun laws, they affect women more than they affect men. And they affect seniors. People, I want you to think about what they did with this magazine ban. Idiotic. I had an amendment onto this ban that says you can't have a magazine more than 10 rounds. Can't sell it, manufacture it, trade it, whatever, in the state after they pass this bill. And I go, I had a simple amendment. This only applies to people with criminal intent because those are the people that you're willing, that you're targeting. Now, and they rejected that. I go, why did you reject this amendment? This is a reasonable amendment. Oh, it's a stupid amendment. Why? The bill is stupid. I go, the bill limits a person, a law-abiding citizen's ability to defend themselves and gives the advantage to the guy that's intent on committing mass murder. Do you think a guy that's this will protect our school children? It won't do anything of a kind.
Right.
A guy that's going to commit mass murder is not going to worry about the fact you have a law that says you can only have 10 rounds. But a law-abiding citizen will, and that affects women, that affects seniors. I mean, some of the points that these women made were, hey, I'm a senior. You know, it's hard for me to change magazines. I'm a disabled person. It's hard for me to change magazines. I want as much capacity as I possibly can.
And history has shown that governments that disarm its citizens, it never goes well for the citizens. And some use the Ukraine as an example. You know, they can't defend themselves and even have to use like toy guns for the staged photo ops we see. But anyway, we're going to take a quick break and we'll have one more segment with the senator here on Local Matters.
Ready for a romantic getaway? Head to Quinault Beach Resort and Casino any Sunday through Thursday. Stay two nights for just $249 and we'll include a $100 resort credit and $25 free play for up to two people. That's two nights for two people for just $249. Plus, we'll throw in champagne and a gift. While you're here, dine at our fabulous restaurants or win big playing our hot new slots in the casino. And of course, we're on the beach. Quinault Beach Resort and Casino. Winners happen here. Prior reservations required. Some limitations and blackout dates apply.
Get a jump start on spring lawn care at Dennis Company Ace. All Ace Rewards members save big on select Craftsman spring trimmers, handheld blowers, and hedge trimmers, as well as grass seed and fertilizer. While you're there, get your garden started with seeds, bulbs, and potting mix so you're all ready for the growing season. Your hometown Dennis Company Ace is stocked with the best brands for greener lawns and flourishing gardens. Stop into Dennis Company Ace in Southside Aberdeen, Elma, Montesano, and Raymond, or DennisCompanyAce.com.
It's about 10 minutes till, and we have Senator Phil Fortunato on the line with us. He's with the 31st Legislative District, and that includes parts of King and Pierce County, which seems like a bunch of people have fled the cities and ended up out here trying to get away from all the chaos that you're dealing with up there. What say you, Senator?
Well, I just happen to know one-third of my district is in King County, which happens to be the worst portion of my district for Republicans. But I happen to be the only elected Republican in King County.
Oh, wow.
I mean, that lets you know how bad it is. If I can, I would like to talk a little bit about homelessness because people are always calling up and go, why can't we do anything about homelessness?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we are doing things about homelessness. I would like you to tell me what your guess is how much money we spend on homelessness. Take a wild guess. And this is state program, state funding, and it includes counties. It does not include what the cities are spending. Take a wild guess how much money we're talking.
Say again?
I'm asking you.
Say again?
I'm asking you, how much money do you think that we are spending on homelessness?
$300 million.
You're way off, man. Add a zero and you would be way closer.
Really?
It's $2.7 billion.
Oh, my
gosh. That's like 4% of the state budget.
Wow.
I go, it is ridiculous the amount of money that we are spending. But what are we spending it on? You know,
right.
you hear the other side talk about housing first. Oh, if we give everybody a house first, we give them housing first, then we can work on everything.
Right.
I go, why is the state of Washington's homeless thing increasing 220% when other states, California, increased 40%, other states are going down? Why are we going up 200%? I'll tell you why. Because we have a great homeless program. We're doing great stuff for homeless people. If you move into King County, we give you a hotel room, we give you cable TV, we do your laundry, and we give you three meals a day. That's what you get if you're homeless. The governor just passed had a bill that said, oh, we're going to get the homeless people off the side of the road because there's a problem with these homeless camps along the side of the road where you're going to do construction. So what's the solution? We're going to give them a house. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. So if you want housing, all you need to do is camp on the side of the road, which, by the way, the state senator in the 19th district, you should be darn proud of him, Jeff Wilson. Jeff Wilson and I, to some extent, but he's going to do it overnight, he says, is camp on the side of the road.
Oh, yeah?
Because this is crazy. And, you know, Jeff Wilson is the king of picking up needles. And he's trying to bring that to attention of people. Look, when you have these homeless camps, this is what you are doing. So I had a bill. It was called the Shelter Act. And here's what the bill did. Oh, and I said, this bill is not to solve homelessness. I actually had five homeless bills. This was one of the components, and it said, if you are homeless and you are on public property, there is a court ruling, Morris versus Boise, says you can't get them off of public property unless there's a place for them to go. I said, fine, I'm going to give you a place to go. I'm going to give you a tent. I'm going to give you a sleeping bag. I'm going to fence the area in. I'm going to have a police presence to provide security so that you can leave your stuff and come back, and it would still be there. I'm going to have social services, drug and alcohol treatment, mental health evaluation, right? I could not get a hearing for that bill. But then I said, after we do this, if you camp on public property, it's a misdemeanor. And the object was to get these people out of the parks, get them off the side of sidewalks, et cetera, return to parks and things so your kid could go to the park without and walk your dog without stepping on a needle somewhere.
Right.
And I said, if you continue to camp on public property, that will be a misdemeanor. So, now bear in mind, if I take taxpayer money and I do all of this and you decide to camp on public property, I'm going to ask you to leave. And if you don't want to go to this secure area and do all that and enroll in drug and alcohol treatment, you have to leave. You have to go back to Kansas. You have to go back to wherever the heck you are. I cannot take taxpayer dollars and fund your addiction. And the Democrats would not allow me to get a hearing until I removed the misdemeanor thing and removed the requirement to do drug and alcohol treatment, because there's no evidence denying them drugs and alcohol helps them. I go, well, there's plenty of evidence that says if you allow them to continue, it hurts them. I mean, this is madness. This
wow.
is crazy stuff. and there is only one group, one political party that you have to blame for homelessness, and that is the Democrats. It is not the Republicans. At the very end of session, I drafted, you know, what I call a messaging bill, because it was drafted in the last couple of days of session. I can't remember the bill number, but I took all of the Republican ideas for homelessness and put them in one bill. You know, being able to hire homeless people to pick up litter on the side of the road. I mean, I don't know whether you noticed, but our highways are a pigsty.
Oh yeah.
And I passed a bill last year. It's called the Welcome to Washington Act, and I called it that because I came in from Oregon one time. This was when Oregon was still neat and didn't have graffiti. Now it's, you know, graffiti nightmare all along everything. But I came in, and you come into Washington, you pass this big sign, Welcome to Washington. And there's a couch on the side of the road. You drive a little farther, and there's a car bumper. There's a, you know, and I said, you could furnish a three-bedroom house and build a car with the crap on the side of the road.
Right.
And I go, now, bear in mind, everybody talks about, oh, this is great for tourism. Yeah. We want to come to Washington, see our parks, see our mountains. Yeah. You know, and
see our couches on the side of the road.
And look at the garbage on the side of the road. I actually had a delegation from the Congo come, and they commented on the garbage on the side of the road. And I had dinner one time with a delegation from Korea, right? They had three Korean assemblymen. You know what the first, because they were in the Korean consulate in Seattle. You know what the first thing that they said to me when we had dinner?
What?
Why do you let people crap on the side of the road? On the sidewalk.
Right.
I go, so they're going to go back to Korea, and they're not going to say, oh, it's so beautiful, the mountains, Puget Sound, the ferry boats. They're going to go back and say, those people let people crap on the sidewalk.
Right. Isn't that something to be proud of? I have some text messages. I have some text messages. One that says, please move to Port Angeles and run for the District 24. I need you. And another one is was a question. How did they clean up that homeless camp by Marathon Park in Olympia? They were surprised to see that thing gone. You know anything about that?
Well, yeah, but what they do is they clean up these parks, and then they come back a week later, and then they do the same thing all over again.
Oh.
And then when they do clean up the parks, your senator, if you're in the 19th, went there after they cleaned up the park and picked up a whole bucket load of needles. So, I mean, it is a major thing to clean up these parks. But they come right back. They don't do anything to keep them away. You know, my business happens to be construction stormwater management, Clean Water Act compliance, right?
Right.
How to build something without dumping dirt in the water. Well, Clean Water Act is a big deal. If you're a shop owner in Seattle and you hose off your driveway because they crapped on your sidewalk, and if you use disinfectant, oh my gosh, you will actually get fined by the Department of Ecology.
Wow.
Right? However, if you have a homeless RV and you park it in Olympia along Capitol Lake, and you pipe your toilet into the storm drain, that's absolutely no problem whatsoever. I mean,
wow.
it's nuts.
Oh,
it's like
gosh.
Living in Bizarro World.
Totally. I agree. We're almost about out of time here, Senator Phil Fortunato. I really appreciate you spending some time with us here this morning, and maybe sometime you'll come back on and talk with us.
Right. Well, I appreciate your offer, and I just want to close by saying, you know, I try, you know, in my newsletters and stuff, you try to be nonpartisan. You try not to reference the other side. But you want to know why the governor still has emergency powers? You want to know why we still have homeless camps? You want to know why you give the government $15 billion in extra tax money and you don't get tax relief and you get 1,300 new programs and policies? There is only one political party to blame, and that's the Democratic Party. I said, you know, many times I say there's actually two political parties. There's the evil party and the stupid party. I happen to be a member of the stupid party.
Well, hey, we got to wrap things up. It's time for our 8 o'clock news. This is Local Matters.